The first reading is taken from the second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 13, reading from verses 11 to 14. Finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice, strive for full restoration, encourage one another, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. And all God's people here send their greetings. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
May I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's Trinity Sunday, and therefore we're speaking on the Trinity. Isn't he the spitting image of his dad? You know the way that she feels so intensely about things? Isn't she just like her grandmother? We all know that if we want to understand people at any depth, we need to know something of their parents and even of their grandparents. It's hugely important to know that we're made in the image of God. Look back at Genesis 1, we hear God saying, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness." In other words, at this very earliest point in God's revelation, God is not alone. Flick forward to Proverbs 8, and it tells us that wisdom was there from the moment of creation of the world. It tells us that this wisdom was the craftsman at God's side. It tells us that this wisdom took delight in the creation and in humankind. In other words, there was someone else involved in creation. And we as Christians say that person was Christ. Is not this a prefiguring of the Trinity? Proverbs tells us that wisdom was there, verse 23, from the beginning, before the world began. And we can listen to the echo of that in the famous first verse of the Gospel of John, so often read at Christmas: "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." John is telling us that John, the Word, or wisdom of God, took our human flesh and came and dwelt among us. And the Holy Spirit was also there at the moment of creation. In the second verse of Genesis, we read that the Spirit was hovering over the waters. And look on in the Old Testament, and there are many examples of God's creative, enabling Spirit coming and equipping people to do all sorts of things they couldn't have done without him. The Old Testament also speaks of the longing for the Spirit to be poured out with fresh power. And that's exactly what happened at Pentecost, as we remembered last Sunday. What does all this mean for us today? Three things stand out. First, we're called to be image bearers. What I mean is that we all have the Trinitarian God's imprint upon us, and we're charged to be his image bearers to others. Yes, of course, we've messed up. Yes, we often measure ourselves against others and feel a very low self-esteem as we do so. But if we've responded to the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we know that we are loved and forgiven children of God. We know also that we're called into fellowship with other Christians. The Christian psychiatrist Glenn Harrison speaks of seeing a picture in a church hall in the United States of a fair-skinned Jesus smiling benignly at the happy group of Western children gathered around his knee and assuring them, "You are special." But someone, Glynn continued, got hold of a large red felt tin and inserted 5 extra words in large letters. "You're part of something special. Follow me." And there's the two things, being part of the church and following Christ. And remember that we're all made in the image of God. When we see bad people doing bad things, as Calvin puts it, we have to look upon the image of God in them. And as we are aware of that possibility, we will see flashes of that image, which may well surprise us. The BBC a few weeks ago reported the story of those Cape Town drug leaders who stopped their murderous violence and started to help a pastor deliver food parcels during the pandemic. And one of them put it like this: "There is no such thing as gangsters here. In these times, all of us stand together." And that "all of us stand together" leads directly on to our second point. The Trinity is relational, and therefore we are relational image bearers. We've wanted to glance to the New Testament to see how crucial Jesus' relationship with his beloved Father was. He needed the Father, and the Father needed him, and they both needed the Spirit. Broughton Knox, a theologian, put it like this: "We learn from the Trinity that relationship is the essence of reality, and therefore of the essence of our own existence. God has created us for relationship, for he is relational. We need others, and others need us." Someone has put it like this: "The voice of self-deprecation says, 'I'm no good, you don't need me.' The voice of self-importance says, 'You're no good, I don't need you.' But the voice of God says, 'You need each other.'" During this pandemic, people have become far more aware of their need and of their dependence on others. But for that sense to become permanent, we need help. And help is here right in the Trinity. The Trinity points us to the perfect relationship. And the Bible reminds us that we can call on the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit to be with us. And here we have not just an ideal to look at, we have helpers to support us. For in the Trinity we have God above us, Father. We have God alongside us, Jesus. And we have God within us, the Spirit. Listen to Jesus telling his disciples that he is in the Father, and then continuing, "And you are in me, and I am in you." In other words, we are called. And this is incredible. We're called into the relationship of the Trinity. There's a famous icon by the 14th century Russian icon artist Andrei Rublev, and it has the three persons of the Trinity sitting around a table. They're sitting in what appears to be a circle, but it's actually a sea. The whole picture, as someone observes, invites us in to complete the circle, to be part of their life of mutual love, affirmation, and creativity. We are both invited into a relationship with the Trinity and also invited to become part of the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And that means we cannot just be lone intellectual Christians, or lone moral Christians, or lone spiritual Christians, or lone opting out Christians. We have to be relational Christians. If we ever thought that lone discipleship could be the norm, then we've only to look at the Trinity to see that that idea cannot long stand. For the Trinity is the supreme example that being a Christian is about relating to others, relating to both Christians and non-Christians. And here there's something else that's very important. As we look at the Trinity, we see distinctiveness. The Father is not the same as the Son, and the Son is not the same as the Father. And if there is that rich diversity in the Trinity, does it not mean that we are called to be diverse image bearers? Look at the Trinity and you see three diverse persons. You see them in complete unity. They have what someone has called relatedness without absorption. Our society makes much of individualism. But is it not increasingly evident that it's actually moving towards a uniformity, where everyone either thinks the same or says that they think the same, and consequently who don't think the same and are brave enough to say it can be hounded out of their jobs and positions in a trice. By contrast, the Trinity is about relatedness without absorption. Is not that sort of diversity precisely what we need? Yes, of course, the Lord wants me and he wants you to learn from the lives of others. But he doesn't want me to be the same as you. And he doesn't want you, you may be relieved to hear, to be the same as me. To say that a person is a spitting image of his father doesn't mean that he's the same as his father. That would be very worrying. God made you, as Rick Warren rather marvellously put it, to be yourself. He wants to use your gifts, your passion, your natural abilities, your personality and your experience to impact your part of the world. All of us start out, Rick goes on, as originals. Unfortunately, many of us end up as carbon copies of someone else. It was because they understood this that the early apostles, who were of course all Jewish, didn't ask Gentiles to become Jewish Christians, rather guided by the Spirit and going against their own natural grain, they valued and encouraged the diversity of these new Christians. And what mattered for the apostles was not whether they were, these new Christians were shaped by the same culture, gender, ethnic, racial, economic, religious, social background as it shaped the apostles. What mattered was whether they followed Christ as Lord of their lives, whether they could pray that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit will be with them. And when we look at the Trinity, we see not three clones, but three diverse persons in a relationship of unity. So let's, as we close, remind ourselves that the Trinity calls us to be image bearers, to be relational image bearers, and to accept thankfully that God calls us to be diverse image bearers. Let's pray. Our Father God, we thank you for the Trinity and for its reminder that we are called, that we are made in your image, that we're called to be image bearers, that we're called to be relational image bearers, and we are called to be diverse image bearers. We pray that through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, you will enable us to be that in this coming week. In your name, amen.